And we forget that sometimes because we try to be so independent. And yet, you know, God has made us in a way that we can never truly be fully just independent. We are dependent. We're dependent upon Him for everything. So when we embrace that, and we embrace it together, we see amazing things happen. So please grab one of those. I think it's got like a daily prayer guide for each one of the days as you unfold it. For example, today is disaster relief ministry, so praying for that. And in February, I'm on the board of directors for an international ministry, 127 Worldwide, and we had our board of directors meeting in North Carolina. Well, anyways, my travels took me through all of these parts of Tennessee that were just wrecked by the hurricane. So, you know, when we talk about what the body has come together to do to serve when people are hurting, I mean, really, the damage done was significant. And when you see it firsthand, it kind of looks like a war zone. I mean, that was the best thing that I could kind of associate it with. And, you know, to see not only Baptists, but just Christians come together to serve other people, we really are the hands and feet that God has called us to be. So, join together in prayer, and let's see what God has in store for us as we do that. My name's Wes. I'm one of the pastors at The Ridge, and I get to be with you guys for 3 weeks in a row, so that's going to be pretty fun. Or you're going to be like, this guy is annoying, one or the other, okay? So, and hopefully my voice is a little better next week. Between allergies and coaching baseball for 10-year-olds, it's just a bit shot today. I get pretty fiery when it comes down to coaching. So I love helping kids, but I also love baseball. So getting those two things together and seeing them grow is something really fun to do. Honestly, just kids need motivated. Sometimes they need a good yelling. I know it seems weird, but sometimes, you know, just getting their attention to focus, it really does help. The problem with that is I'm not really a yeller. So my voice is like, why? Why do you do this today on this time for baseball? You know, I know I need a megaphone. That's really that speaker or something. But we do have 3 weeks coming up, so we're going to do a bit of a series. It'll be the three E's is what I'd call it. We're going to talk about encouragement, exhortation, and edification, and the role that one God plays in our lives, but that we play in each other's lives, and how that looks and how that works. And honestly, all three of those are pretty essential to a full life as a Christian. To be able to encourage one another, I mean, it's huge. To call to action, which is what exhortation would lead us to, and then edification is calling us to actually just grow and mature in our faith. I mean, if we do that together, it really is a full walk. Okay, so we're going to look at that for the next 3 weeks, and today we'll start on encouragement, and it's really going to be about being encouraged and then encouraging others, because there's a two-part aspect to encouragement. We all need help at times to be encouraged. I don't know about y'all, but I think if I asked this question, everyone would say, yes, I can relate with that. And it is, have you ever felt overwhelmed by a task or a season of life and wondered how you're going to make it through it? And if you're like, man, no, never. It's been perfect. Great. I'm happy for you. You know, you're like 7 years old. That's why. And, you know, you just don't know. So anyways, we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about being encouraged and then what that looks like to encourage others. And before we do, let's pray. And then we're going to dive into the set of scripture. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. God, today, fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom and discernment. Help us to see in your word not only a hope for our own lives, but a responsibility for each other's. God, help us to just surrender to what your word says, to surrender to your spirit. God, if anyone doesn't know you as Lord, that they would be encouraged that you've given them a hope and a life and a future. So, Father, please move in a mighty way this morning. Help my voice to just stay consistent through this sermon and to continue to recover. And Father, be with us this day to fill us up with more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think I said it the last time I was here. You know, I'm an interactive guy, so feel free to speak up. Like, it's totally cool. In fact, it's just more fun. All right. Or you can just listen to me and you're going to be like, man, that guy, again, you know, is talking a lot. But if you engage, then it's going to be one of those moments where maybe we can actually work ourselves into this and grow with one another. So thinking about encouragement, today's kind of like a two-part sermon. Being encouraged is one piece of this. And then as someone that's been encouraged, the responsibility to help other people is the secondary part. So we're going to actually kind of do two mini sermons to be one full sermon, okay? Because we're going to look at two sections of Scripture and really the components that should lead us to that. And if I start even just with the encouragement piece of needing to be encouraged, I don't know if I shared this the last time or not, but back in 2023, I was diagnosed with cancer. And when I started my treatments, I can remember getting ready for radiation, and I was meeting with my radiation oncologist. And the first, you know, he's introducing a really nice guy. It was here in Oak Ridge, and I was like, man, you know, he's like, do you have any questions? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, I got a lot of questions right now. I'm kind of freaking out. I don't know what's happening. You know, cancer is a big word. What do you do when you feel like giving up? What do you do when you feel like, why? Why me? You know, why, you know, in my lower 40s with two young kids, why me? You know, I try to serve in our community. You know, I mean, like you can go through all the things and you're like, you know, to justify like why it shouldn't be you, right? And so I asked him, I said, well, what do you do in that moment? And his response has been something that stuck with me ever since, and I use it so often, is gratitude. He said, because there's some things that cancer can't take. Like, even though cancer can take our lives, it can take our health, it can take this, it can take that, but it cannot take everything. It cannot take your memories of what's happened in the past. Like, I don't remember things as well. Like, I've still have, like, chemo fog from time to time. Names are really difficult for me to remember, to be honest. But it doesn't take the fact that I have two amazing children. It doesn't take that I have a God that loves me away from me. It doesn't take that I have a church that is behind me and with me, that we have a family that's bigger than bloodlines. It doesn't take that, you know, for the last, I think, 5 years, I've coached, for the most part, 5 or 6 kids every single season, and I've gotten to know their families and their birthdays. My cancer can't take everything. And when we start to be grateful for what cannot be robbed by anyone else, right, it really does start to change our perspectives. So when we get down on the fact that I'm going through chemo and through radiation and you feel really tired, by clinging to the things that you could be grateful for, it would give you the strength to just continue going. Like, all right, it's one more day of a lot of pills. It's one more day of a lot of pills. It's one more day of a lot of pills. And I'm telling you, there are days where the way to push through wasn't just being grateful, but it was being married to a wife that would encourage me. And I remember late into my treatments, and I was just like, I don't want to take chemo anymore. I'm tired. You know, you're taking poison. That's really what chemo is. It's not like it's a vitamin. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, I'm taking some Flintstones. No, it's like, man, if you take these and you're healthy, they'll kill you. You know, and that's what they're doing, because they're killing cancer cells. You know, so I can remember as I got late into it, just telling my wife, I'm like, I'm really tired. I'm really tired. And by the way, I'm in remission now. I'm clear. I'm cancer-free. I go for a scope again this week, which I go all the time for scopes. You know, it's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, God was so faithful throughout the whole thing. And the way it all worked out, God's hand was all over it. But, yeah, I can just remember late, like, not wanting to and her pushing me through it, you know, because you get tired, you know. But encouragement has that power. So, like, when I would be encouraged by being grateful for what God had given me, then, you know, you begin to recognize that there's a responsibility, that there are other people around us that also need encouragement. And a good example of that was like this week, I think it was Friday night. I don't even remember what I was doing. I was actually up later than normal. I think it was like 10:30. I know it's not like it's that late, but for me it is. I know, right? It's late, guys. It's almost tomorrow. I was on my couch doing something, and I got a text from somebody at church, a really good friend of ours, and she was just like, "Hey, are you awake?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's going on?" Oddly, you know, like normally, no, I'm not awake. And this is someone that's like a little sister to us, and we've just, our families are just so close, and she calls, and I mean, she is just broken. And, you know, she had discovered some new information about some family stuff, and it really just left her in a very, very difficult place. And for the next 20 minutes, what do you do with that? You know, part of that is you just listen. You just listen. You know, two ears, one mouth. You know, listen in that ratio, it usually helps out. So we listened and just got feedback from her. And then I reminded her of a deeper truth. And honestly, this is something that we're going to get into today. I reminded her that even though she might feel a certain way, or that a story may impact her in this way, that her truth is not dictated by circumstances, but by what God has said. And that's the beauty of it. Like, her identity had been hit by this news that she had received, and she felt broken by it. But the reality of it is that you have so much worth and value because God has already said that. So even though you may feel like this has rocked you, just so you know, don't forget what God said. Don't forget what Jesus has said. Don't forget that he died for you. Don't forget that he gave you a purpose and a people. Don't forget that he has given you a new name. You're not known by your past, but now by his reality. And the responsibility in that was to remind her of the truth. And that's what really this set of scripture, this sermon is going to be about. The Bible shows us that God himself encourages his people, and then he calls us to encourage one another. And today we're going to check out two stories. One is Joshua facing his calling, and then two is going to be David being strengthened by Jonathan. So if you will, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, and we're just going to be in the first 9 verses. And again, this is being encouraged. God strengthens us. And we need to know a little bit about the context, because Joshua was, you never want to be the guy after the guy, right? And in this case, I mean, just look at, what's the coach for Alabama's name? DeBoer? Right, he's the guy after the guy. That guy's getting fired this year, probably. Right, like, I mean, we all know that, right? I mean, if not, like, third game next season, he's gone. I mean, we just know this because he's the guy after the guy. You don't want to be that guy, okay? and it's Alabama. Who cares? But you know, the other side of it though is here's Joshua, and now he's the guy after the guy. All right, Moses has just done some amazing things, right? And refresh real quick, you know, delivery from slavery. I don't know, big deal. You know, it's a pretty good thing. Promised land, you know, they're on the way to it, right? About to cross into it, and that's when he passes away. And Moses is now dead, and Joshua is called to lead a nation into the promised land. So he's stepping into massive shoes, going into a place with massive enemies. And if you look at it from a just a straight-up data perspective, he doesn't have a chance. The numbers aren't on his side. I mean, these are bigger people, bigger numbers, and not just one group. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't going in to fight one fight, but a lot of fights. Okay? So he's getting ready to go into something, and he's a bit discouraged, and that's where we get into it with this set of scripture. So let's just check it out. Verse 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When I read this verse, it reminds me, a lot of times I sit during the worship, and it's not for any reason except I'm usually just praying. And one of the prayers that I pray, it's a Dallas Willard prayer. And if you've never heard of Dallas Willard, I highly recommend going and checking out some of his stuff. It's just fantastic. But he had a book on prayer, and he shared one of his prayers that he always prayed before he spoke. And it's one that I share with him at this point. And it's, God, are you with me? I don't want to go up here if you're not with me. Like, it's silly. I'm not, what am I? I'm just some guy. But if you're with me, then anything is possible. Lives are changed. Are you with me? And Willard says when he prays that, it's always like this feeling of the Spirit coming over him that just reminds him of the answer from your head down to your socks. I'm with you. And that's the way God is. He's always with us. And here's Joshua about to enter the promised land. And really, what does this say to him? Joshua, go. I'm with you. From your head down to your socks, you don't have to be afraid, because nothing can overcome what I have in store for you. I'm with you. So, what is it that God is doing in this moment to Joshua? He's encouraging him. Well, how does he do that? Well, if you look at just verse 5 and verse 9, we can see a really good set of examples of what God is doing with him. Listen to this. Just as I was with Moses, what does he say? He says, so I will be with you. All right, well, what does he say in verse 9? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for what? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So what is something that God is using to encourage Joshua? He's using his presence. He's reminding him. He's like, Joshua, listen, let's don't overcomplicate this with like details. Right, because details muddy the water a little bit sometimes. Like, let's not worry about the fact that they have more people. It's fine. Let's not worry about like there's more than one nation. Like, let's not worry about that it's really big and you've just wandered through the desert for, you know, a couple years, right? Long time. Been out there. Generations passed. You're probably tired. You know, that manna and birds and water and you probably want some like steak. I don't know. You know, something different, but no, hey, but you didn't get that. You know, you're tired. No, he doesn't bog him down in the details. He says, it's going to be okay because I'm with you. And it's amazing how God's presence does that, right? Even when we feel like we're at our wit's end, when God's presence is just with us and we remind ourselves of it, it's a pick-me-up. And in fact, whenever we see stories in the Old Testament where people were in the presence of, like, the Lord, or the presence of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, or the presence of, and they would fall down like dead people, right? And then they would touch them, or they would speak to them, and they would say, get up. And that person would get up, because guess what? God was with them. Even when you feel overwhelmed by that, God reminding you that, hey, I'm for you. I'm not here to destroy you. I mean, whenever people saw that sign of God in that fullness, they always felt like they were about to be just dead, right? And yet God was able to be like, hey, no, man, I'm not here to smite you. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to tell you something. So let's go. And they would get up. God's presence changes everything. I will be with you. It's the ultimate encouragement. The ultimate encouragement is not self-confidence, but confidence in God. If we put the faith in ourselves for the success of the church, it will always fall short. doesn't mean that we don't have capabilities or gifts to use or things to leverage. No, God has given us so many amazing gifts, and we should like grow them and mature them and use them and like leverage them to serve other people. Absolutely. I'm not taking away from that. But where churches fail is when we actually begin to believe that the success of the church is only dependent upon us. And there are churches that succeed numerically in that manner, but they fail to leave eternal legacies. And we got to remember, we're not talking about a small part of years. We're talking about we make impacts that lead to eternal changes. Even the video talked about that. I'm not a guy that leaves eternity woven in everything that I do because I'm a finite human being. But if I allow myself to be used by God, the God of larger than time, now you're talking about a legacy. So the ultimate encouragement is not self-confidence, but confidence in God. And that's what God is telling Joshua. Like a child facing something scary in this moment, Joshua stands tall. Because like a child, when they're scared and freaking out, you know, if I go and Huddy, my kid, I think he's back there somewhere, probably low crawling. I see you. He's like, great. I got God. But like in moments where he or my daughter Mercy are scared, if I go and grab their hand and we go through whatever it is that's scary, they seem a little bit more brave. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty of it. But God is so much better than that. So instead of just like a kid that's scared in the moment, that all of a sudden when they grab a parent's hand, they can feel a little bit braver, right? I'm not as scared of the monster under my bed or the boogeyman in my closet because my mom or my dad came into the room. But now Joshua is about to go into the promised land to face a daunting task. And the God of the universe says, it's okay because I'm here. I'm here, son. And you're going to be all right. So you don't need to be afraid. And then we get into his promise. So God reminds us of his presence. Then he tells us about his promise in verse 2. God says, now therefore arise, go to the over the Jordan, you and the people, yada, 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 okay, into the land, what, that I am giving to them. So God is reminding them that this isn't necessarily for you to go and take, but it is a gift from me. I already made the promise, which means if you just believe the promise and go faithfully to do, guess what will happen? You'll receive it. And then you can even see it again in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to what? Inherit the land that what? I swore to their fathers to give them. He wasn't going in hoping for good luck against these other nations. He was simply going in to receive what God had promised a long, long time ago. And God is not a God that breaks his promises. He can't. It's not even that he won't. He can't. To go against his own word would be to go against his very character. And that would make him less than God. Like just, if he's promised it, it is certain. So he's reminding him of this, that I'm with you. I made a promise. And the beauty of this is this isn't just for Joshua. Like, we actually have his word where God has spoken to us, and he actually tells us a lot of the exact same things. Now, this context, like, we're not going into Jericho. I'm not. I don't plan on traveling anywhere near Jericho anytime in my life, most likely, and I definitely don't have to tear any walls down. You know what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of a disconnect. Like, that's not me, right? But there is something deeper to it where it does connect. And even if we fast forward all the way through the New Testament, guess what doesn't change? God's promise to be with his people. He always, even, I mean, we see that in the New Testament. We see where God says in places like, oh, Matthew 28:20, I'm with you. To the ends, I mean, we see it. We see it. So we know that God's word, which we have in our hands here today, in paper form, in our phones, we have it with us in so many ways, is what we can turn to, and its promises actually fuel our courage. And we need to understand that our encouragement comes from Scripture, not from our circumstances. Because listen, Christianity does not promise you great days every day. I mean, really, you even as a pastor, guess what? One time I went to the doctor and they said, so it wasn't gluten, oddly, it was cancer. That's not a good day. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that's a bad day. So it's not circumstantial, because was God with me any less whenever they discovered that I had cancer than when they told me it was gone? No. He was not with me any less on either day. And he'll never be with me any less, because I'm his son. I'm his child. And if you're his follower, guess what? You're his son and his daughter. We are his inheritance. He's promised to be with us till the end of the age. So it's not based on our circumstances. Like, circumstances will lead us to be like a roller coaster. Up and down, down and up and down, twisting, turning. And all of a sudden, if you've done that after eating about seven things of cinnamon bread at Dollywood, you're just sick all over. Right? We know. And that's what life is like. Life is like that. Life is not easy. And I would even say, in a lot of ways, for the Christian, it's harder than most. Because we've made a decision, we've made a choice to not only live out life just like everyone else, but we also have made some choices to say, when someone hits me in my face, I will turn them the other cheek. And for those that persecute me, I'll pray for. And I will love my enemies. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's kind of unfair, because the people that don't follow Jesus get to say, no, I'll punch you right back in the mouth. What now? I'm not going to pray for you. You persecuted me. I'll persecute you back. That feels a whole lot easier, right? A whole lot more natural. But that's not what we signed up for. And in fact, that's not what Jesus modeled. So it's really hard, the Christian life. Well, what gets us through that? Not our circumstances. The scripture, God's word, will get us through anything. And then we've got God's presence and God promises, but what about God's command? Be strong and courageous. And we saw that through 7 and 9. I'm not even going to worry about turning back to it. We heard that very clearly in those sets of scriptures. And here's what is really being said. I'm just going to follow up with what I just said. It's not always easy. But God calls Joshua to walk in faith and obedience. And listen, when it is hard, that is sometimes one of the most amazing ways that God will use you for his glory to display among other people. Some of the most amazing connection points that we see from people in faith to a lost world around us isn't in their successes, but it's in our failures. And I'm not trying to glorify our failures. I want to glorify the God that is with us in the middle of our failures. The story of an addict in recovery. Of broken marriages restored. Of churches that were hurting because of division, yet reunited because of the gospel. Of people that are hungry being fed. Like, we see God's hand most brightly when it seems most dark. But God is with us in all of those things. It's not easy. And God didn't just pat Joshua on the back and say, all right, buddy, it's going to be okay. No, he didn't. He actually did not do that. Instead, what he said was, Joshua, remember my promise. Take the law with you. Don't let it leave your lips and your heart. He said, take this word, keep it near to you, obey it, live by it, follow it. Know that it is the word of life. So take these words and take my presence and go, because nothing will stop you. And you see, you and I can be encouraged today because God is with you. And we see that in Matthew 28:20. We also see that God has promised good to us. And we can see that in verses like Philippians 1:6. And we can see that God has commanded courage in us. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Like, these are just a small set of examples, because we can look back at this and say, but that's the Old Testament and God was different back then. And really, that's a really terrible theology. God is not changing. He's the same, always. So the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are not two different gods. They're the same God. Like, hands down. But for those of us that want to say, but well, that was to Joshua. And you're right, that was to Joshua. But it's something for us as well. Well, let's get to something a little bit closer to our time. Okay, well, how about in Matthew 28:20? How about in Philippians 1:6? How about in 1 Corinthians 16:13? You see, God's encouragement to us doesn't just leave us in this place where now we can just all be happy. We'll skip out of this building today holding hands. Right? Like, no. Instead, what he says is, okay, here's the deal. I hope that you are encouraged. And really, that's the hope for this part of the message is that, guys, listen, if you're having a really difficult time, it's okay. And it's okay to feel like you feel hopeless today. But it's not okay for us to stay in that place. Because the reality of it is this, is that even if you're in a difficult spot today, God has made a promise to you to love you. He is for you. He is with you. And guess what? You may feel like you've done things that can never be forgiven, but God is not that God. God is actually different than you and I, because God says there isn't anything you can do that I can't forgive you for. And in fact, I've done everything. And it's even in this book where it talks about everything that's been done so that you can feel unforgivable. But the reality is, I will forgive you. I want you to come home because I love you. And when you do, I'll never leave you. So even if you feel hopeless, you're not. So hopefully we cling to that, because your circumstances do not determine. I'm going to wear this bottle out. Your circumstances do not determine your future, your value, or your worth. Doesn't determine your identity. God does. And he has made a promise. It has been written. And he is for you. Now, we can't stay in this place where now, okay, we've been encouraged. What do we do with that? Well, let's just play church. We'll show up on Sundays and that'll be enough. No, that's fake news. Yeah, that's not going to help anything. Truth is now that you have been encouraged, we have a responsibility to encourage others. And that's where we get into part two. And this one will go pretty fast because I think I'm running shorter on time. Let's go to 1 Samuel 23, verses 16 through 18. And let's just start with a little bit of context to this. Now that we've been encouraged, we have to encourage one another. David is hiding in the wilderness because he's running from Saul, and David is exhausted and afraid. Jonathan is Saul's son. He seeks David out at the risk of his own safety to give him words of life. He seeks David out, risking his own safety. And in verse 16 through 18, it says this, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, 'Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be the king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. And Saul, my father, also knows this.' And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home." You may be like, that's not a lot to that, Wes. And I'm like, well, you know what? You can get a whole lot of calories out of a really small meal. And this is one of those moments. What do we know out of this? That Jonathan, in verse 16, it says, Jonathan did what? Rose and went. You see, Jonathan went to David. And real encouragers, true encouragers, this is us, our responsibility. We are not passive. We will be intentional and we will go. One of the most powerful missionary stories I ever heard was one of David Platt talking about going to this place in Africa. And, he said to a missionary, he's like, hey, man, I could have just sent more money than it came, and that money probably would have helped a whole lot more. And then the missionary or the Christian there in Africa said, yeah, but it means a whole lot more when my brother is with me. Like, we can send a text message, and we can send a card, and those are all good things. Just like sending money to the mission field is a good thing. You understand what I'm saying? But there are better things. Because there are moments when a text message doesn't work. It's not enough. There are moments when, you know what, people need a hug. People need a voice in their ear. People need a hand to hold. People need someone to be at the cemetery with them. People need someone in the rehab clinic. So people need our presence more than our empty words. It is easy to send a text message. It is easy to say, and we've done this, so I'm going to call us all out for it. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody done that and did not pray? I haven't. I'm perfect. 1,000. I'm kidding. Right? We've all dropped the ball on this. And a lot of times we even ask this question. Let me just ask. Anybody ever done this as you're walking by somebody, maybe in a hall or you pass them at the restaurant? Hey, how are you doing? I don't know what they said because I didn't really care. But I knew in East Tennessee, we say, how are you? And have no idea what their response was. You see what doesn't do that? Intentionality. Actually listening to someone on the other side. Like when we talk about politics, for example, I'm going to meddle for a minute. When we talk about politics, here's the problem that we have. We forgot how to listen to one another. I don't even need you to agree with me. I don't necessarily even care if you do. Because that's your business and mine is my business. But you know what we ought to be able to do? Disagree well. To disagree well, go eat a burger afterward with each other or a donut, and be grateful that God has given us a head to think and a heart to beat so that we can have our own opinions. Yeah, it's not our idea. Like, guess what? Republicans and Democrats, just a side note, neither one are Christian. They're neutral. They're just a thing. Christianity has nothing to do with how you vote in the sense of, oh, I have to vote like this. That makes me a Christian. No, that makes you a voter. Jesus Christ is the only thing. Like, he is the one that makes you a Christian. And that's it. That's how deep I'm going to meddle today with your political views. Because honestly, I don't care. I mean, it ain't not my business. But you know what is my business? That even if you and I would disagree, because here's the deal. Between the last, 10 presidencies, people are hurting. On both sides, on all sides of the political spectrum. What is my responsibility as a Christian? To encourage, to love, to forgive, to be a bridge to the gospel. Not to beat anyone down to agreeing with me. And that's just it. And I have to be intentional to be that way. And I have to be willing to go. You see, sometimes God wants you to be the one who shows up in everyone else's valleys. And we talk about God meeting us in our valleys because that's our low points in life, but sometimes you're the way he does that. Have you ever had that person meet you in your valley? What kind of an impact did that make? When you were broken and empty and a brother or sister met you there, how much love do you have for that person? Oh my gosh, I can think of their faces. And like when I do, it's just like, it's like the sun on my skin. You can feel that warmth. You know what I'm talking about? Those moments when you don't even have the words except just tears. And someone is there and they don't even say a word. And we don't even need them to say a word. Like some of the most amazing moments I've ever had with people were in silence. Because presence matters. And they could have sent a text message. So go, be intentional. So we know that Jonathan took initiative. Then Jonathan pointed to God. He helped him find strength in God. It says that in verse 16. He didn't say, hey, David, buddy, you can play the harp. You should be fine. He instead said, cheer up. But no, he didn't say that either. What did he do? He said, David, God said, you were going to be a king. Well, you can't be that if you're dead. So I don't know why you're afraid. And if God said it, what will happen with that? It'll happen. He reminded David of God's promise and his faithfulness. And real encouragement always points us back to God's truth, not just empty slogans or Christian cliches. We don't need coffee cup theology. In our first pregnancy, we had really difficult pregnancies. And in our first pregnancy, we lost our daughter. How many weeks, Courtney? Was it 24, 26? Huh? 24 weeks, and I can remember at the funeral, and listen, this is it's really difficult. It's still even really difficult to talk about, but I also know that God uses it for his purposes. But I can remember at the funerals and even just throughout time when people in the church, meaning well, would come up and say, I just want you to know that God has a plan. And I'm like, I just want you to know how to punch you in the face. Because I don't care about God's plan right now. My heart's broken. My daughter is dead. And I love the fact, and listen, what they were saying was theologically correct. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we just don't need you to say a word. I don't need a fix. I just need you to sit down, shut up, and be here with me. And listen, we've all said those kind of statements. So I've done it. And now I'm a whole lot more intentional to not say anything when people are in the middle of something really hard, to be like, you know what? Hey, well, listen, I just want you to know, man, God is for you and with you, and we're going to figure this out. And instead, even though that's right, until they're ready, it's time to sit there. How many people will just salt their steak in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, and then they pour the salt in their face? Right? Nobody, right? Because listen, spices applied in the right time, in the right amount, make amazing meals. But whenever you put even good spices on the wrong thing or in the wrong time, it is always distasteful. I don't put gravy on my chocolate ice cream. It'd be weird. Sometimes even the best word that you have is at the wrong time and at the wrong place, and it's just better to hold back. And this is what we see in this moment, that instead of worrying about that, we need to focus on the truth, and we leverage it in the right time and in the right way. And then Jonathan renewed David's hope. He says, you will be king, and I will be second to you. He reaffirmed God's calling on David's life. He reminded him. And in like the movie Moana, it's like Moana saying, I am Moana of Montanui. You will board my boat. You will cross these seas and restore the heart to Tahiti. If you don't know Moana, you're missing out. It's a fantastic movie. All right? But do you remember that? Where she just went and reminded her, this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. And this is what I'm going to do. God has put a call on my life. And you, God has put a call on your life. Don't let the lies and the circumstances rob you of what God wants to do with your life. We let it happen way too often because I've made these mistakes and now God can't use my voice. No, that is a lie from Satan himself. God is a God that redeems even the most broken vessels. And I'm so glad that he does. He gives the mute voices, the blind eyes, and the deaf ears. And even bigger, he gives dead hearts life. That's the God we serve. So encouragement means often to remind people of who they are in Christ and what God has called them to do. Strength from God is never meant to stop us. It is meant to spread through us. It doesn't stop with you. It goes through you. I hope and pray you're encouraged today and that when you leave here, you look for someone and think of someone immediately to pray for. Someone that you know needs a word of encouragement. And I hope you don't just stop at sending a text, but you go and you give a hug. And you put the right spice out in the right time. We're surrounded by broken people. We're surrounded in a world of shadows. And God has given us a light. Joshua reminds us that God gives courage. Jonathan reminds us that God gives encouragers. It's like a relay race. The runner that runs doesn't just run their part, but they encourage their team to continue the race, not by looking back, but by moving forward and sharing the encouragement that carries others along the way. I would challenge you to do this, to be encouraged because God is with you, and encourage others who can strengthen you this week, or you can strengthen this week, because there are people out there that just need your presence. You may be the only hands and feet that God has planned for them today. The question is, will the church mobilize and be the gospel?
Let's pray.
Father, thank you for who you are. God, I love you so much. You are so faithful and good and sweet. Please forgive us where we fail. Remind us that our failure doesn't restrict us, but it's an opportunity to get back up, to help other people, and to love them the way that you love us. Help us to love deeply, faithfully, and to be encouraged by your word. We ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.